You know, they didn't even really hear what he was saying. And I was like, well, that was just one more thing we didn't understand. But they didn't ask him about that saying. As they say in another place, no man durst ask him what that meant. You know, but there were many things in the prophets written concerning the Son of Man. You know, Isaiah chapter 53, Psalm 22, of the crucifixion. You know, they're going to mock him. Read those chapters. When we get to the crucifixion, I'm going to read Psalm 22. I'm going to read Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You know, these prophecies, and there were others too, some more vague than others, but Psalm 2 wasn't very vague at all. They pierced my hands and my feet. I mean, it is the Psalm of crucifixion when you hear it. It's weird. I remember now, I had a dream last night about the crucifixion. And just how shocking and unready for it they were, and they couldn't believe that that was happening. At least in my dream, that's the way it came to me. Which was odd, because I usually don't dream about things like that. Verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You see a contrast between those who need and those who have no needs. Those who are sufficient to themselves in righteousness. Those who have riches. You know, they're not needy. They don't feel like they need something. This man had not even sight. Let me have my sight. Your faith hath made you whole. Why? What faith? Because calling out. If I call out, he'll hear me. If I call out, he'll heal me. If I ask, I'll receive. Believe that what you ask, you will receive. What do you want that I shall do unto you? You know, I don't see, it doesn't have to be a very profound faith. Me visionarily focused. Oh, I'm so glad I got a hold of Jesus because I need to receive my sight. I need to receive my righteousness. I need to be turned from my sins. Because to me that's so much more important. Jesus did these things because you can't see sins being forgiven. You can't see sins being taken away. Yeah, sometimes you can see their fruits. By the fruits you will know them. But it's not the same as instantaneously seeing a blind man receive his sight, or seeing a crippled man get up, or someone with a screwed up arm have it just become whole, or a leper having his body parts come back on. You know, when you see things like that, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I see there's some power there. And this guy, he begins following him, glorifying God. That is what we are called to do. Let us follow Christ. Let us glorify God in Him. Let us seek Him. And when people tell us to shut up, oh, don't seek righteousness, don't seek holiness, you're going to be disappointed. Right? Hold your peace. God doesn't really want to do that. Just accept the imputed righteousness. Don't accept any substitutes. He that commits sin is the servant of sin. He that does iniquity is the worker of iniquity. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not a theoretical freedom, not an imputed freedom. Imputed freedom is like you're in jail and they say, well, we're going to just write down that you're free. It's bogus. It's a nonsense. Yes, there is an imputation, I know, but it's not, if there is an actual freedom that follows the imputation, imputation is like saying, we're going to mark you down as a freed man. And after you undergo your physical, and after we give you a new set of clothes, we're going to let you go. Because there's things that got to happen before you go free. That's what the imputation is for, is to tell you, yeah, you're free. But we're going to actually, before you can become a free man, there's a few things that have to be done. We're going to have to go through a few steps. Because if you're still committing sin, you might as well still be in jail. You are the prisoner. You are the servant of sin. We want to be the prisoners of righteousness, the prisoners of Christ. I want to be blind to evil and seeing to good. Not that I turn a blind eye. I hope you understand what I mean. That my eyes take in the things that I want, the things that I'm looking for. That which I bring to me and to my heart is good and not evil. We want to receive our sight, that we can see clearly the paths of righteousness, the paths of uprightness, and the teachings of Christ, so that we may follow him, so that we may grow up in him. Yes, now we see through a glass darkly, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. And so, by prayer and by continuance, by diligence in those things, we know we can receive the promises. So faint not.